Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome to Baseball Central, the Friday, October 23rd edition. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker for your listening pleasure on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet Radio Network, and on the Tube. Sportsnet 360.
Happy Friday, yeah.
Happy Friday, Mr. Barker. It'll be a happy Friday if the Jays can win Game 6 tonight. First pitch is at 8 o'clock on Sportsnet East Ontario, West and Pacific. If you want to listen to it on the radio, our pregame show will start at 7 p.m. on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Blue Jays Central postseason will be on Sportsnet East Ontario, West and Pacific at 7 o'clock as well. Game 7, which is going to be necessary because the Jays are going to win 6-2 today. So Game 7 will be necessary. And when Game 7 is played, because it is going to be necessary, first pitch will be at 8 o'clock. It'll be Marcus Stroman against Johnny Cueto on Saturday. What, you don't think that the Jays are going to win tonight?
No, I do. Yeah, I just think it's funny the way you said all those things. Roll your tongue.
Huh? Oh, okay.
I agree with all those things. I said it was going
to
go seven.
Trying to change it up.
I said it was going to go seven when it started.
You did say it was going to go seven. I said it was going to be Jays and six. It can't be Jays and six. We know that. But
you're good.
Pretty optimistic. Honestly, I'm pretty optimistic going into these two games. I'm going to say this. I'm not necessarily optimistic because it's David Price in the mound. I just have a feeling that the Jays are going to hit Yordan Ventura. And I got a feeling they may knock him out of the game in like the third or fourth inning. I just based on a gut feeling.
That's a good call.
Yordan Ventura doesn't. The guy who scared me has already pitched and been beaten. Volquez is the guy. After what I saw from him in game one, I'm going, oh my God. That's exactly the type of guy.
What's the weather going to be in Kansas City?
Well, as Buck Martinez says, hang around for another 5 minutes and it'll change.
Right.
Arden Zwelling joined us, said the weather forecast in Kansas City was, it's raining right now, it's gloomy, cloudy right now, but that they should be able to get the game in, although there appears as if there's a pretty good chance of rain sometime around 10 o'clock. So I guess the worst case scenario if you're John Gibbons is that it starts to rain, you have to shut down David Price, and then you come back after the, after the rain lets up. But, we can't worry about the weather right now.
No.
The weather's the last thing you can worry about going into this game. We're going to be joined, by the way, by Cliff Floyd of the MLB Network at 11:15. We'll get Cliff's take on this game. We'll talk about what it's like to face elimination. This will be the Jays' fifth game Jays have faced elimination.
It's not a big deal, right?
They're 4-0.
Yeah,
in their first four games, as Russ Martin said. You know, he said we've put together three game winning streaks.
I think the being surprised on how the Kansas City Royals are going to pitch them is out the window. Now they know how they're going to be pitched. Kansas City's going to make them beat them in the big part of the park, which means they're going to go middle away, and they're going to go middle away with power. They're going to go sliders down and away, and they're going to elevate with power when they're heading the count. It's real simple. So now the Blue Jays have to go up and take that approach and start hitting balls the other way with authority. They do that and make Kansas City early in that game change their approach on the mound and start coming in and getting closer with baseballs, and then they can, maybe run into one or two.
Well, it's interesting that Buck Martinez said during batting practice yesterday, and it was an optional workout, but most of the Jays hitters were there, that the emphasis was on taking the ball to the opposite field, hitting away. And, you're right. The Royals, for all the talk going into the series about how the Royals would have to pitch inside and yada, 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 the Royals have had success with the Blue Jays because they've been working them away, getting them to lean over and then busting them inside. And I think finally we saw in Game 5 the Jays take advantage of that. And it really started, I think, with just the desire or the statement of intention that, you know what, we're not going to swing at a pitch that's outside. You know, we're just not. We're going to take those pitches.
We can't hit them. Right?
And we can't hit them.
Right.
We'll take the pitches and we'll take the walk.
I think
and turn it over to the next guy.
Again, you have to get back to Ventura. You have to remember he's running it up there 98 to 100 miles an hour. It's, you know, you can say all you want about the approaches and going up and knowing how a guy's going to throw you, but the mile per hour is still there. And the weather, you can say what you want about the weather. That's going to play into a factor. Again, it gets back to taking that approach from the Rogers Center to Kauffman Stadium. Don't try and change your approach. Obviously, you know how they're going to pitch you. You can think right center, but you still have to have that approach that you're trying to drive the ball in certain counts. Don't go away from that. What I'm saying is don't try and hit balls on the ground. Don't try and go the other way. Don't try and shorten your swing. Be who you are. You got here with the swing you got now as a team 1-9. Don't try and change that and go away from it in one game, because it's not going to work. Again, you have to remember this guy's throwing almost 100, and he's going to consistently throw that. It's going to be power. You let him supply the power with the mile per hour, put a nice
easy
swing on it.
I like that. Supply the power with the mile per hour.
Bam.
You could be a songwriter.
No, not that good. But, you know, that's what I'm going to be looking for. And, again, I think it's time for David Price to be David Price, and let's stop talking about it. But, you know, it's – The 0-7 to me is playing now. It could get in your head, and the 5.44 ERA and 7 starts. I think it's time. We tried to say the 60. I heard you earlier say the 16 runs that he's only had 16 runs to play with in those 7 starts.
A couple of starts where he said one run.
I get it, but you are one of the handful of best pitchers in baseball. It's. You know, I'm a huge fan of David Price, and there's only a handful of David Prices, but this is why you go out and get a guy like this, is to come and basically dominate. I think it's really time. We need David Price to step up and be David Price and show exactly why everybody wants David Price on their team. This is that game.
And I would think, and I know this because you talked about it off air, but Stephen Brunt made the point on my show earlier. I guess on our show, because Brunt's the co-host. Still call it my show, can I?
Well, it does.
It has my name on it.
Your name's first, right?
My name's the only one.
Well, there you go.
Okay. Anyhow, he made the point that, I think it's absolutely justified and absolutely, absolutely bang on, that David Price needs to focus a little less on David Price, the guy who used to throw 98 or used to be able to get it up to 98, and David Price, who maybe needs to take a little off the pitch.
Marco Estrada.
As opposed to...
is a prime example. Location.
And we talked about, what did we spend all our time talking about when David Price first came over here? We talked about, well, he's got the change. He's got the curve. I'd like to see him like Buck Martinez. I'd like to see him drop a few more curveballs in on the Kansas City Royals. Because from what I saw, they can't hit that.
I'm going to say this. That's going to be nice, but it's going to have to be location of the fastball. If you can't run it up in 98 and miss the spot, 98 allows you to miss location and get away with it. 94 left-handed doesn't. That means you have to be a little bit more fine with location. And when he gets in trouble now with the 94 and he's missing a little bit up and out over the plate, that's when you start seeing balls hit hard. From the first pitch on, he's going to have to go down and away with that 94, establish that, and then he can start mixing in a breaking ball and going to that changeup. But it's going to be feeding off a location with 94. We can try and mix in all of those other pitches, but it basically gets down to how do you throw 94 down and away all the time, get ahead, put guys away with maybe the little bit of cutter and the changeup.
Because that's the thing that's really been missing, I think, isn't it, Kevin? You used the phrase. He's had a difficult time putting guys away. And I'll say it right now. The success that he had in Game 2 in Kansas City, I'm saying it's because of the shadows.
A lot of it.
I'm saying it's because of the shadows.
I'll say this. Now, I'm not going to take anything away from it, and I've never hit in Kauffman Stadium, and I can't tell you anything about the shadows. But there was a couple of balls that were missed, center cutting up, that he may have gotten away with the shadows. Then there won't be any shadows at 8 o'clock tonight. So you know, that's what I'm saying. You get back to when you don't have the 98 and you can't miss on the plate, because 98 being left-handed and a little bit of movement allows you to miss location.
Mm-hmm.
94 tonight's not going to allow you to do that, especially with Kansas City that goes up swinging at all strikes from pitch one, the last pitch. He's going to have to locate a lot early in the game, establish that, so he can throw back foot curveballs, not for strikes. Throw the changeup down and away for strikes. Get guys swing happy. He's going to have to do that early. And if he can do that and go deep in game, the Blue Jays have a chance. If he doesn't, and then you start having to see other guys like an R.A. Dickey or whoever, Liam Hendricks, see? Mm-hmm. Then it's not going to be a good thing. So, to me today, I know you mentioned, yeah, they're going to have to score runs, and a lot depends on the five-plus runs. They score five, they got a chance. Plus, obviously, they got more of a chance. To me, it's all about David Price. David Price is going to have to be David Price as advertised. Are we going to get it? Are we going to see it? Are we finally going to see all the questions answered? Today's the day.
Well, I don't pretend to think that it's David Price needs, you know, David Price needs to have a good start for them to win. But, man, you have to score. I think you've got to score 6, 7, 8 runs off of Yordan.
Can they do it without hitting a home run? Because I think they can be.
I'll tell you what. I think right now, this team's approach going into game 6 is better than its approach going into game 2. What I mean by that, game 1, who knows? Game 1, the series is just starting. Okay, game 1, I think we came away thinking, man, if they don't make some sort of adjustment, they're not going to be able to win because they're not going to hit home runs. So I'm looking from game 2, going into now, I like where they are offensively right now a lot better because I saw Jose Bautista have that great at-bat and take a walk. I saw Edwin take a walk. I've seen Troy Tulowitzki make some good contact. It seems to me as if they're seeing the ball better now than they were before game 1 in Kansas City. And I think maybe now they've got a better read on what the Royals pitchers are going to offer them.
And I think this, you saw Kansas City when they came to the Rogers Center, they were picking on the plate, a little bit on the plate away, mm-hmm. or a little bit off the plate. Kauffman Stadium allows them to pitch on the plate because of the big park. Blue Jays are going to have more chances to drive the baseball in Kauffman Stadium. Can they do it? Can they stay right center being right-handed? Can you go, it's not too many left-handers, but can you think left center and hit the ball left center with authority? Early on in that game, they're going to have to do that as a whole 1-9. They're going to have to start, even if they get outs, mm-hmm. they're going to have to drive the ball the other way to make Kansas City do something different. Now, you have to remember, Ventura in 79 2/3 at home during the regular season only gave up 5 home runs. So he likes pitching on the plate in Kauffman Stadium because, you know, wind blowing, colder weather, rain, ball's probably not going to be carrying as much. You're going to have to manufacture some runs. I'm not saying bunt. I'm not saying any of those things. I know you don't like to hear it, but you're going to have to put runners in motion, do something to put pressure on the defense, put pressure on Ventura early in this game, you know, to maybe get to a middle relief guy in that bullpen because, you know, their bullpen in those 2 games at home only gave up 3 hits and 6 2/3 innings and no runs.
Mm-hmm.
To me, both sides of this game relies on their starting pitcher. Their starting pitcher does what they do. Whoever does that better is going to win the game. It's, you know, and who can get the big hit? It's probably not going to be via the home run, but who can drive in that, you know, who's going to take advantage of the walk, of the 2-out walk, and then a guy gets an infield single, and then who gets that big hit? That's the team that's going to win to me.
Kevin, what do you think plan B is for the Jays? If David Price is hit, let's say he's hit in the 3rd inning, 4th inning, what's plan B? Hey, Mark, is it Marcus Stroman?
I don't think he can. You know, what if you figure out a way to win game 6? Who would pitch game 7? To me, could it be R.A. Dickey? No way. Not the way R.A. Dickey. You think about Kansas City being comfortable with Cueto going into the game 7. Mm-hmm. How comfortable would the Blue Jays be with R.A. Dickey going into game 7? So I think you'd have a better chance of seeing R.A. Dickey in that scenario today, tonight, than you would for R.A. Dickey to pitch in game 7.
Wow.
So, again, it gets back to my
– Hey, Russ Martin. Good news. R.A. Dickey's coming in the game.
So how important is it for Price to go down and away with strike 1 a lot?
Oh, early? Totally. Totally. It's hugely, there's no doubt about it. It's hugely important. But again, I think we've seen enough evidence that they've got to score runs. They absolutely have to score runs to win this game. They've got to, like I said, I'm looking for 7 or 8 runs off of Yordano Ventura very early.
And I will say this real quick before we get our guest. Price against Lorenzo Cain. Lorenzo Cain's 5 for 14 with a home run. Salvador Perez is 3 for 12 with a home run. Alex Rios is 12 for 32 with 2 home runs. Left-handers, Hosmer's hitting .214, Moustakas is hitting .200, Gordon's hitting .235. What's that say? You have to get the right-handers out in that lineup because lefties, you have a better chance. They don't see the ball very well because of power off of David Price and that changeup. David Price is going to be very important to get the first two guys out in the lineup and then all the righties. You know, it's a tall order at Kauffman Stadium. We can say it the way we want to. It's a tall order, but this is why you went and got David Price to pitch this game and get these big outs.
David Price, of course, has got a heavy, glorious track record in the regular season, not so much in the postseason. Do we put too much stock in how we view a player's postseason performance? Do we maybe over exaggerate or do we overemphasize postseason performance at the expense of regular season performance? After all, David Price make 34 starts this year. I mean, you have to be pretty good to get through the regular season and get into the playoffs. Cliff Floyd is our MLB analyst from the MLB Network. You can follow him on Twitter at CliffFloyd30. He's one of our insiders. He joins us in Baseball Central. Good morning, Mr. Floyd.
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
Well, we're getting ready for Game 6, elimination game. Of course, it's all about David Price right here. I'm going to make this a two-part question. Do people who played the game view postseason success differently than those of us who didn't play the game, Cliff? In other words, do we tend to put too much emphasis on what a guy does in the postseason at the expense of what a guy does in the regular season?
I think we do. I really do. I think when you look at what a guy's done during the regular season, it's, for me, it's why we're in the postseason. Now, the emphasis put on the postseason, of course, is you're so close, you can taste it, that I need you. I need you so badly that, you know what, if you don't get it done, then, you know, here come the scrutiny. Here come, well, you're not a big game pitcher. Here come all the things that, you know, just in my opinion, is unfair. Mm-hmm. Because I feel that a guy that goes out there doesn't need to prove that he's a good pitcher by what he does in postseason. The postseason is pressure. It's way more pressure than game 63 of the regular season, game 62. So when you get to the postseason, it's like, well, you look at David's, you know, history, it tells you that he's not gotten breaks. He's ran into some situations where guys have put, you know, some a bats together against him. But you also got to look at the fellas, in my opinion, as, don't you think that these hitters put a lot of time and emphasis on what this guy does as an eighth? I know I would as a hitter. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not going to prepare for, you know, Marco Estrada the same way I prepare for David Price. Even though Marco was great, I mean, he kept their hopes alive. It's just a different preparation for a guy like, you know, a 3-4 guy as opposed to David Price. I have to know all these tendencies, because I'm going to get one opportunity to capitalize. And if I don't, it's going to be a long night for me.
Cliff, you played in some small parks. You played in some big parks. Kauffman Stadium plays really big. We know the Blue Jays, when they're at the Rogers Center, they are just – it's a dynamic line-to-line, inside the ball, right-handed, hitting balls in the second deck. Kauffman Stadium, you can't do that. How does that play into a 1-9 team when they're going to a stadium like that? Plus the weather – it's going to be windier. It's going to be maybe raining. And obviously the pressure of game 6 what I'm saying is, do they need to take a different approach in game 6 in Kauffman Stadium than they did in game 5 at Rogers Center?
I think you would like to hope that they can do it. They have a team that's more suited now with Rivera in there and Goins in there. You can move the, you know, Gibby can put some different things on. you know, you don't change necessarily the big boys' approach. I think, you know, you let them be. But as far as being able to play for that one run early and sort of allow your pitchers to go out there and settle, I think that's huge. I really do. Y'all think one of you guys alluded to it as I was coming on, to scoring early and sort of neutralizing from David Price's standpoint, the righties. Everything is magnified tonight, especially on Toronto's side. Pressure's on. We know you lose, go home. But to your point about the stadium, you know what the Kansas City Royals do. They don't go for the fences. They play base to base. They steal some bags. They put guys in motion a little bit. They try to mess with your mojo, whatever your MO is. They try to mess that up, and they will base hit you to death. On Toronto's side, we know what they're about. Led the world in homers. We get it, but sometimes you have to take what you can get, and I think that's why they have to play tonight. You know, yes, you want the three-run homer, but if I need three hits to score a couple runs, let me get the three hits, guys moving a little bit, get some guys in motion, because you have to put pressure on Kansas City to beat them. You can't sit back in the cut and hope that you can get a few runs on the board by hitting the long ball. It's not going to happen in that ballpark.
Cliff, it seems in this series that we have seen a very generous strike zone, especially to the outside of the hitters. And it's been pretty consistent for the most part. And when I say consistent, I mean it seems that through five games, all the umpires have pretty much given everybody that pitch, you know, quite frankly, using the pitch tracker, they looked like balls. But is that easy or difficult for a hitter? You know, everybody likes a consistent strike zone. I get that. Everybody likes to know what is going to be a strike.
Right.
But when it's just outside the zone a bit, does that make it less easy? Is it less helpful for a hitter to know that?
Well, I think for me it's horrific as a hitter when you see the strike zone moving all over the place. Mm-hmm. To your point, you want, of course, consistency. But when I have to worry about, you know, that ball, you know, a two-seamer coming back over the dish,
right,
as you might see from your Dono tonight, I don't know which one is going to be called. Now, it's one of those things, like, I feel like umpires feel sometimes, and it's a pressure situation for them as well, you know, that if they miss something, they have to give it to you the next time. Well, that messes you up as a hitter.
Sure.
Because now I'm on the fence of, what, you know, with two strikes, now I'm fouling off balls that could potentially be, you know, a ball, and sort of putting the pressure on the pitcher again. So you have to look at every pitch. And I would like, I don't know who's home plate umpire tonight, but I would just think that for the most part, let's just be consistent with the outer half to call on the strikes that are on the dish, because you don't want to have one strike called here and then the next one not called and then one strike called here, because while you say, yeah, you're going to miss some calls throughout the game, guess what? For a hitter, it's absolutely horrific, because it's going to come in that point in the game, a big situation, and you need the consistency that you've had throughout the game in that crucial point. And if it's not there, boy, that's the last thing you want. You know, in a win or go home type of game, is the umpires playing a big role from a call, you know, from a ball strike situation.
Yeah, I mean, I've had guys say that, you know, don't give me the makeup call. Let me know some other way. You know, hey, man, I missed that or something like that. Let me know another way as opposed to the makeup call, because I don't want the makeup call to come two at-bats later. You know, when I – and I don't want that.
With nobody on?
Yeah.
With nobody on, you call a bad one, okay, it happens. I get it. But if you got, you know, second and third, one out, and now I'm thinking, now I have to think about if I get the two strikes, you know, I mean, it's so much, you see where the thought process goes as opposed to seeing that little white baseball,
mm-hmm,
and trying to put it in play. I'm thinking how I got to protect the outer half because Blue might call me out on this one. It's just, let's alleviate all that and stick with one consistent zone. Yeah, it's been some missed calls and some tight situations too. You're looking back on these calls going, woof. I mean, if I was Kansas City the other night, I would have been a little ticked off at some of the calls that weren't called against, mm-hmm, Blue Jays hitters.
Mm-hmm.
That simple.
Cliff, what are you seeing differently from Troy Tulowitzki? He's had some big hits. The biggest thing I see, I'm not sure that it is, but to me, he looks healthy. What are you seeing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the health is most important, man. I can definitely vouch for that. Being I was hurt pretty much my whole freaking career. When I was healthy, I felt like I can go out there and you couldn't get me out. He's in that zone, I think. I think when you look at that bass he didn't get, you know, getting his feet up under him, seeing the ball better. We saw the swings early in the postseason. You're thinking to yourself, oh, my gosh, like, you know, in Texas, before he hit that homer, you was like, yeah, you know. And Gibby was moving him down, trying to protect him from himself.
Right.
You know, moving him down in the order. Now he's back to feeling like you throw him something that he can hit and he'll crush it. So he's a big part of them and sort of having that long lineup through. He's a big part right now. Of course, I mean, what, he had 11 RBIs? That's not easy to do in the postseason. You got to work for that. So his confidence is definitely coming back.
You know, Cliff, one of your former teams is in the World Series, the New York Mets. I wanted to ask you about that because you do spend a lot of time in New York. I look at that series. We talk a lot. Anytime you talk about the Mets, you talk about young pitching, young starting pitching. It's great. I get that. But Daniel Murphy and Curtis Granderson had two of the better series we've seen by hitters. Gosh, in the past 3 or 4 years of the postseason. I think you really have to give the Mets a little more credit than just, hey, they're a bunch of good young arms, don't you?
Yeah, man. You know, the biggest thing going for the Mets right now is they hit the perfect – I mean, you couldn't ask for a complete package than what the Mets have right now. The only thing that's going to probably hurt them, and I don't know if it's a cliche or whatever you want to call it, of, you know, the 6 days off, man, yeah, you want to keep playing because these guys are hot. But, gosh, dog, if you have a guy like Curtis Granderson getting on early in the game, getting everything started, scoring the run in the first inning every freaking game, guess what? It's going to be hard for you to beat them. I mean, their confidence is on another level. When you look at the rotation, how Terry Collins has it set going to the World Series, it's fire after fire.
Mm-hmm.
To go along with an offense that is just clicking at the right time. Cespedes, yeah, he has a little, you know, bad shoulder. But the whole offense as a whole, unsung hero and Murph, and then Granderson getting on base consistently at the top of the order, being a table setter, it just makes for everybody else's job that simple. Like, you know what? I don't need the big hit all the time. We have a nice commanding lead. We get to run early. When you walk into that locker room, I'm guaranteeing you the flow and the excitement and everything about putting a W in that win column is pretty high.
Okay, Cliff, put you on the spot a little bit. We see a game seven, and who wins the game seven?
Oh, man. You know, I believe this. Seriously, Toronto wins this game tonight. It's so much pressure on Kansas City letting them back into this thing that Toronto wins, I think, goes to the World Series. That's how I look at it. I thought Kansas City was going to put them away the other night in Toronto. I said it. Because I just felt like it was so much pressure on the Jays to go out there with Marco Estrada going against a team that absolutely destroys his type of pitching, which I think he was masterful the other night. His changeup was off the charts, unbelievably good. It was outpitched. But you let the Jays back in this thing. And now if they come in there and win and Kaufman stand tonight, I say the Jays win game seven. It's just a gut feel.
Cliff, we're going to let you run as always. It was great to talk to you.
Thanks, Cliff.
No doubt. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Cliff Floyd, our MLB insider from the MLB Network. I'm unusually optimistic about this outcome. And I think I'm like you. I think if the Jays win tonight, the pressure's on Johnny Cueto. And, yeah, he's come through. He came through against Houston. I know all that, but a little different scenario.
Got Marcus Stroman going game seven. I'd take my chances then.
I would take my chances, and more to the point, I would take my chances with the Jays hitters.
Yeah, I'll say this too. If they win game six, and by hitting the ball the way, you know, not hitting the home run, going the other way, getting the big hit, the confidence level, it's all about confidence this time of the year and how you can beat a team at their place. If they can do that tonight, they got it all lined up for game seven.
The simple fact of the matter is the home runs aside in game five, if they take that approach to game six, they can beat Kansas City. Home runs aside, just patient, it's a ball, let it go, work to the opposite field. If they take that approach, they can win.
They will get more balls on the plate tonight with Ventura throwing.
Yes, they will. Stay
with the power, and, you know, he's got that little mentality as I throw hard, here you go. Mm-hmm. See if you can hit it kind of thing at home in my place.
You might have to use a little bit of Yordano Ventura against himself.
Right.
Which this team is entirely capable of doing. It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360. We'll be back with more.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central. I just found out that Kevin Barker did 7 one-arm push-ups at 5:30 this morning.
5:15.
And why did you do that? Tell me why you said you did that.
Because I can.
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun.
I don't know why that just amused me. The thought of Barker getting out of bed, dropping down on the floor, doing 7, and getting up and starting the day.
That's how I get my day started.
That's pretty good.
Hey, can't go running, so I...
Why can't you go running?
Because my son's there. And
oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. I thought you meant you had bad knees or something like that.
No. Okay. No.
All right. Welcome back to Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and the insanely in shape Kevin Barker.
I can't do 7 one-arm push-ups.
Yes, you can. Sure, you can. Mm. If I drop down and give me 7 one-arm push-ups right now, you could do it.
No.
I could.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay. It is Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker and Sportsnet 590. This band's fan and Sportsnet 360. I couldn't do 7. I couldn't.
Two arm push-ups?
No, I could do that. But you'd have to give me 10 minutes, and then it'd have to be a taco at the end of it or
you
something.
You do
like
yoga,
that.
Right?
What?
Well, that's what you do with your trainer, right?
No. My trainer. My trainer, you're such a knob. You
oh,
really
I'm sorry.
Are. You really are.
Core workout.
I'll stop it.
Hey, Travis is the one that reminded me that you do core workouts with a trainer.
I don't use a trainer. I mean, I don't even know where to go. It's game 6 tonight in Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium.
Gotta have some fun, man.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, why not? David Price on the mound for the Blue Jays. Yordano Ventura for the Royals. 8 o'clock first pitch. Blue Jays Central postseason with Campbell's on. Martinez, Brunt. How the hell did he get in there?
Who?
Brunt's in there, too.
Because he's good.
Didn't ask me. Davis and May at 7 p.m. on Sportsnet East Ontario, West
didn't
of Pacific.
Didn't ask me either.
Well, radio coverage is at 7 p.m. with Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, and Mike Wilner. As I said, first pitch at 8:07. It'll be followed immediately by Blue Jays Central postgame at Sportsnet. The Blue Jays talk with Will Nutz will be on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Game 7, if necessary, is tomorrow. And the starter for the Blue Jays will be Marcus Stroman, unless, of course, he's needed tonight. It will be all hands on deck tonight, although I've got to think that Marcus Stroman would probably be the last hand needed. And Johnny Cueto tentatively scheduled to be on the mound for the Royals. And I'm with you. If they take it to Game 7, the Jays win the series.
100%. I think it's a lot to do your offensive theory. I think if they win tonight by doing not hitting the home run and beating Kansas City in Kansas City, yeah, it's it swings in a hurry to Game 7.
You know, there was an interesting conversation on Dean Blundell and Company this morning with Matt Stairs, who's done a terrific job with them as their guest co-host all week, and I think he's around for another couple of days. He's going to be in the Primetime Roundtable, by the way, this afternoon on Primetime Sports. But they were talking about Ben Revere, and I mean, we focus. There's a lot of storylines with this team, but they were talking about maybe what Ben Revere needs to do to get things going a bit. Because, look, I think we can make the case that Kevin Pillar, Ryan Goins they've contributed offensively to a certain degree. Is Ben Revere, his lack of involvement offensively, I guess is the wording we use. Has that been an issue for the Blue Jays? Is that something that should concern them going into Game 6?
All year, it's when...
Because he is the...
When he gets on
and
base...
He's your best contact hitter.
That, and when he gets on base, a pitcher has to pay attention to him because he can steal a base, and then they forget who's hitting in the 2-3-4 spot, and you leave a ball in the middle of the plate, and then that guy does damage. Yeah, it's a big deal. To me, it looks like he's trying too hard. You get into that. I used to get into that, too. When you're struggling, you go 0-for-5, and you want to help your team so bad. You want to do so many things, and you want to get 3 hits and 1 at bat, and you go up and you go outside your comfort zone, and you start swinging at pitches outside the strike zone. That's why Ben Revere's so good, is because he doesn't go outside the strike zone normally. And in this postseason, he has. That's the difference, and it gets to me that he's trying too hard. You know, baseball is that game. When you try too hard, you don't succeed. Mm-hmm. And you have to sort of try and back off a little bit and think about what you do and just simplify it, put bat on ball. And usually when Ben Revere does that with the swing he does and the up the middle the other way approach, it usually works out for him. And, you know, it is a big deal. It is a big deal for that factor of that pitcher just worrying a little bit about him and not so much the guy hitting. And they need him tonight. Let me say it that. They need him to get on base.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think.
When Escobar and Zobrist get on base, how good's Kansas City?
Well, actually, that was where I was going next because, you know, as I look at this, as I look at these lineups, and I'm not a big fan of, you know, going matchup by matchup, but as I look at these lineups, Alcides Escobar, until game 5 was far and away the most valuable player in this series. I don't think there's anybody even remotely in the ballpark. Now, he didn't exactly have a crappy game 5, but the Jays seemed to at least have figured out a bit of a way to get him out in game 5. You know this guy is going to swing at the first pitch. That's his MO. He always swings at the first pitch. What do the Jays have to do tonight in Kansas City to keep this guy off the base?
Well, I think David Price has to go down and away. You saw Marco Estrada, when he was really, really good in that game, he went down and away for strike one. He got ahead. It's very hard to put down and away with a little bit of authority, a contact, and get good results out of you. You're going to foul it off. You're going to hit a weak ground ball somewhere, or you're going to hit a weak fly ball. You elevate that baseball a little bit. It's easier to get on top of. It's easier to go the other way. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to go the other way early, and then he battles late, and he'll hit it wherever it's pitched. But early in the count, he's trying to go middle the other way. You have to go down and away and get some weak contact. You do that, you got a chance. It's all about confidence. He's a very confident hitter. He sees ball hit ball right now. When a guy gets to doing that, it's, you know, again, I just think it's lefty with power that can go down and away with maybe a little bit of movement. Is going to miss a lot of barrels. If David Price can do that from pitch one, he's got a shot.
One of the things that has kind of intrigued me about David Price, and I'm a big believer that when you put a pitcher into the stretch for the first time in a game, can have an awful lot of, can have an impact on the success you have. You know, I mean, there are people who will tell you it's great when a guy's sailing along, hasn't given up a hit, then all of a sudden the seventh inning comes along. Now you're in the stretch. It's an issue. But Buck made the point about David Price. I mean, David Price essentially pitches from the stretch all the time, modified stretch. He's not a full.
Well, he said that's why he did that. He modified his windup.
He's not a full windup guy. Should that have any effect then, in other words, in David Price? You know, thinking back that last game, he's sailing along through 6 innings. Seventh inning, a guy gets on base. Now all of a sudden you got to go. You got a runner in base, and yeah, you're using the same windup you used before, but have you seen anything that tells you that it has an effect on David Price having a runner on base, even though he uses what appears to be, to the naked eye, basically the same delivery?
I'll say this, when he's in the windup, he's sitting at about 94. He'll touch that 95 on occasion. When he's in the stretch, it's more like 92, 91, 92. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have that extra 2 or 3 miles an hour. That's normal. That's normal for normal guys.
Is that because he has to throw quicker because there's a man in
base?
Yeah,
that's a lot of things. You can't generate as much power. That's why you go in the windup. You know, you want most power pitchers go in the windup. They get more generated towards the plate, towards their target. They throw harder. Their curveball's harder. Their changeup looks like their fastball. They're just a better pitcher. You want to get those guys in the stretch. And the stretch means there's people on base, and you have other people to worry about other than the guy hitting. Gets back to Ben Revere, why he's so important getting on base for those 2-3-4 guys. Well, David Price is no different. You get him in the stretch, he's not throwing as hard, the ball's not breaking as much, the changeup doesn't look as good as it does in the windup. You know, all of these things add up, and he's 0-7 in the playoffs. Yeah, all these things are going to come in play. That's why early in this game, he's going to have some success and be confident going into those later innings when he does have to pitch out of the stretch. Because when you're pitching out of the stretch, usually means you have to make better pitches. Guys are on base. Mm-hmm. Things are happening. Big part of the game. So, yeah, early in this game, he's going to have to establish coming out of that windup, getting confident, getting easier outs. So when he does have to go out of the stretch, it's all about confidence. Mm-hmm. These guys can make their pitches. Now it's about confidence, making your pitch when you have to, whether it's in the stretch or the windup. And he's going to have to do both of those.
Well, it's going to be an interesting matchup tonight. This is, you would like to think this is why the Jays got David Price. For these big games, whether it is an elimination game or the first game of a World Series or something like that. It'll be David Price tonight against Jordano Ventura. The Kansas City Royals' first pitch is at 8 o'clock on Sportsnet East Ontario, West and Pacific, and on the radio on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, the Blue Jays radio network. All right. We got to do Barker's Bundesliga picks. I think we have to. Do we have any Bundesliga music?
I'm overwhelmed with joy. Oh, you upgrade.
I'm not certain this is Germanic, is it? It's got a big German flag on the video here. Okay. Oh, Alte Kameraden. I don't know if we need to play Alte Kameraden. Anyhow. All right.
It's gotten off to a
bad
start.
Hopefully this is not a... I'm just terrified this is some politically incorrect song. Anyhow, we have 4 Bundesliga matches for your viewing pleasure. Now they're looking at the
4?
Video.
4.
Eins, zwei, drei. I don't know what comes after drei. It's fünf. Anyhow, today on Sportsnet World at 2 p.m., TSG Hoffenheim against Hamburg. Who you got?
Hamburg. Hamburg's not any good, right? Are they not any good? I'm going to go... 1-0 because I'm not real sure if they're any good or not. Okay. So we're going to go Hamburg.
Okay. Now this is slam dunk, man. Tomorrow, your favorite team, Bayern Munich against FC Cologne. Now this might be tough for you because you like Cologne.
I do. I'm going to go FC Cologne because I like them. I'm going to go 3-1.
That will never happen.
I'm doing it anyway. Upset.
If that happens, I will do Monday's show backwards. I will... speak backwards for the show, the whole show. If Cologne beats Bayern 3-1.
I'd rather have you do 7 push-ups.
That ain't happening. FC Ingolstadt against Hertha Berlin.
What's the first one?
FC Ingolstadt.
FC Ingolstadt. 2-0. Blowout.
Blowout. God. Sunday, Borussia Mönchengladbach against Schalke. That's at 12 p.m. in Sportsnet World.
What's the first one?
Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Borussia's.
Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that 1-0.
Yeah, that's good. When in doubt, always pick the team that has more syllables in it. Yeah. That generally works in soccer. So there you go. Barker's Bundesliga picks.
Am I 0-4?
What?
Am I 0-4?
You got
this?
A chance here. There would have to be the comet would have to collide with the Earth for Bayern to lose to Cologne. You might be okay here, Borussia.
I like the upset.
You might be okay here.
And you doing push-ups?
I think your record. I don't even know what your record is. I think his record is like. Do we keep track?
12-3.
It's 8-3, isn't it, or something like that? Isn't there an odd number?
He's doing okay.
Yeah, he's doing. You are doing okay. We've got people actually trying to make money off you. Anyhow, that's it for Baseball Central. We will be back on Monday. That much we know. And there will be baseball tonight at 8 o'clock. That much we know. Game 6 of the American League Championship Series. Game 7, if necessary, is tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I think you're going to need to be tuning in because I do believe there will be a Game 7 tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.